about prayer. We're not even scratched the surface yet, so we'll see how far this goes. But tonight, this one is called, if you're writing the title down, Answered Prayer Will Cost Us Something. Answered Prayer Will Cost Us Something. And so, just like, they say freedom isn't free. obviously it costs lots of people their lives over in different wars and things throughout history for us to have the freedom that we have now. Obviously, it doesn't cost us anything to go to heaven. It cost Jesus His life. And so freedom isn't free, and you don't get anything from free. Somebody's paying for it, and so you might get it free, but somebody else had to pay for it and things like that. So same thing here. If we're going to say, okay, I agree with all the things about the Bible, I'm going to live in a certain way so that my prayers aren't hindered, I'm going to actually ask, because if you ask not, you have not. I'm going to ask God to show me great and mighty things that I know it's not, because He said if I'll call upon Him, He'll answer me. And so we're going to see the things that it will cost us. It's not a monetary thing. You'll see in the first one, it'll just be obvious. But 1 John 3, verse 22, it says here, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Because, all right, so there, we ask and we receive. You have not because you ask not. You ask and you have. But then obviously we saw there are some things that will hinder our prayers. If we regard iniquity in our heart, the Bible says God will not hear us. There's different things like that that we have to do. But same thing here. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. And so, well, I asked God for this and I haven't received it yet. Obviously, that might be the answer. I know there's, obviously people in the Bible that have prayed for things and God extended time. God gave them, answers of prayer, things like that. But then there's some that He did not. That was His answer. And so we have to accept it by faith. But anyway, we see here, whatsoever we ask, we receive because, and here's three things that we're looking at, or two things. Number one, we receive it because we keep His commandments. We're not sinning. We're not regarding iniquity in our heart. We're trying to please Him. So therefore, He's like, there's somebody just like it was Sunday morning. We give that sweet aroma, that sweet smelling savor. That's one of my children. They're living in a way that's pleasing to me. Just like He said about His Son. This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And we saw, this is my beloved Son. Hear Him. Listen to Him. And so we see, we keep His commandments. That's why we get our prayers answered. And here's another thing. The rest of the verse, it says here, do those things which are pleasing in His sight. And so if we want a guarantee, a money-back guarantee, we want our prayers answered. We got two things in this verse. If I keep His commandments, and there's way more than 10. There's lots of them. So I need to do my best to keep His commandments. And live like He wants me to do and behave myself like He wants me, and that's pleasing to Him. That's another guarantee that we will get our prayers answered. But it's going to cost us a little bit. All right, so we're going to have to keep His commandments. So that costs us a little bit. We're going to have to please Him. So that costs us a little bit. Again, not monetarily, but just effort. Things like that. So we see here, it's some people, they tag this statement, cause and effect. The reason that this is effective is because of what we're doing here. Cause and effect. And so, if we, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Cause and effect. Because we answered nicely and responded nicely, it affected that person and it caused them the wrath turned away. And so same thing here. If we're going to have our prayers answered, we got to keep His commandments. If we're going to have our prayers answered, we need to do that which is pleasing to Him, cause and effect. So, it says here, because we ask, because we keep His commandments, because we please Him, therefore He answers our prayers. So it costs us a little bit. So, prayer is not a menial task. It's very important. It's kind of like eating. Well, I just didn't get around to it today. I just didn't have time to eat. That might be okay for a day or two or three, but if you continue to not have time, that's going to affect you. You're going to become anorexic. You're going to become sick. You're going to die because you have to eat. It's a serious thing. Same thing with drinking. So same thing with the Christian's life. We have to pray. It's not a menial task. It's something that will affect us, that cause and effect. So Jesus took it serious. He prayed, so serious that the Bible there indicates in the Garden of Gethsemane that He was sweating great sweat drops of blood. So it wasn't a menial task. It wasn't just going through that timetable or that limited or that list of things like that. But he took it serious. So he spent time in agony in his heart and soul. And so it was time consuming. It was taxing on him. It caused him to he had a heavy load on him. And then it was tiring. It was tiring work. And so, again, if we're going to have to, it's going to cost us something to get our prayers answered. Not in every situation. There were certain times where Jesus said, bless this, and God bless that. But here we see here he spent time, and he spent it in agony and in work, and in that great sweat drops of blood. So it took a little bit of effort. So we see here that our flesh rebels at prayer. Anything worthwhile is costly. But our flesh is going to rebel at it. And I'm going through this introduction real quick, and we'll get into the outline. But it says here, it is something that does not cost us much is usually not worth much. Those statements like you get what you paid for. Again, you could go to some restaurants and some area, video games, things like that, and they'll have those little machines out in front that you put a quarter in, spin it, and you'll get a little bit of candy. And usually that's edible, unless it's been in there for several years. And it's not supposed to be crunchy. It's not supposed to be like that. But anyway, usually those little, games that you get out of there, they might not even make it, much less last a couple of days, because they're just so cheap and things like that. But those kids, they got to have it, and especially if grandma or grandpa's around, they're going to get it. And the parents are going to like, more trash to go in my car or my house. But anyway, it costs something, but it doesn't cost a lot because it's not really worth a lot. But we have to work for things that of value. We have to strive and attain things. We have to strive to attain things that are of value. We have to appreciate things which that took to work for it. And a lot of times, that's what parents taught their kids. I'm not going to just give you money, but you're going to work and earn the money. Especially maybe like a first vehicle or something like that. You have to work for it. Why? Because you'll take better care of it. And I learned the hard way. You spin all the rubber off those tires and you have to buy the next. You might not spend as much as you used to spend, things like that. Why? You take care of it. So same thing here. We see here that if something's going to be worth our while, we might want to put the effort into it. So it's going to cost us something. So many aren't willing to pay the price to get their prayers answered. So if I'm going to have a prayer life, I'm going to have to start. You don't just have it. It don't just happen. You have to say, okay, I'm going to start. And you have a starting time. If anything that's going to have value in it, you had to start working at it. And we say, okay, I'm going to start keeping His commandments. I'm going to start trying to please Him instead of pleasing myself. I'm going to start praying consistently. I'm going to do that. So some will say, y'all just pray for me. And that's fine. And we just spent several minutes praying for other people. And the Bible says if we cease to do that, we're sinning. So we ought to pray. But if, we ought to pray for ourselves too. And so that's what God's saying here. But real people, they have a prayer life. And a real prayer life has been done by the individual as well. So nobody can say, nobody can do my praying for me. Nobody can do my Bible reading for me. Nobody can do my outreach for me. Nobody can do my meditating for me. Nobody can be an example for me. We need to do that ourselves, and that's what we're going to do to please God. So there is a price to pay to serve the Lord, and the devil will magnify that. Now, you don't want to get started in that. That's going to cost too much. That's going to take too much effort. You don't want to do that. And so the devil's going to downplay it. Prayer, throw up, thank you for the food. Prayer, thank you for life. Thank you for blessing. Just throw those up, and that doesn't make the devil too mad. But he's going to magnify that, you're going to have to spend way too much time. But if you're going to do something that you love to do, it doesn't seem like work. And I've heard that statement. Find something that you love to do and do it for the rest of your life, and it won't be like work. And so that's what we have to do. It's going to cost that mentality. It's going to cost us that, okay, I'm going to focus on, I love to talk to the Lord. Devil, you can say all you want to. It is important. It's not menial. It's very important. And I love to talk to the Lord, and so just get on out of here. So we have to battle that thing, so it's going to cost us something. So let's look at the outline. Let's look at what prayer costs. Number one, it will cost you time. It will cost you time. And obviously, those of us that are getting older, I guess all of us are getting older, is if we're growing and maturing and getting older, it costs some of your time. And again, that's what a lot of people say, well, I just don't have time. And I was always told, no. You've got the same exact amount of time that everybody else in this world's got. You may be misappropriating your time, but you have time. All right, we all have 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 365 days, maybe that leap year every 4. We all have that same amount. And so it's going to cost us some of our time if we're going to develop a prayer life. So we should attend, have a lot of time to pray, and maybe that has to increase in certain oppositions, in certain times of life, certain times of situations that arise, things like that. But we ought to all have that allotted time. It's going to cost us some of our time. So it takes time to begin. And again, a lot of people are, that's what they are. They spend more time actually planning to do something than they do doing it. And that's the love of it. And so, you know, if they're going to cook something, they're going to put all their stuff out and they're going to have things all, you know, prepared and things like that. And then, you know, it took them hours and hours and hours to prep and to do. And in 15 minutes, boop, it's gone. All right. So, but it took their time. And those that are participating in it appreciated their time. They ought to anyway. So same thing here. Prayer is going to take some of our time. It takes some of our, we have to, what they might say, get in the spirit. In other words, you know, this time of year, a lot of people go around bah humbugging. And some people love it to death. And they're in the spirit of it. So same thing. I have to pray. You know, Lord, that's probably not in the right spirit. So it's going to take you, cost you some time. It takes to share that burden with the Lord. It takes time to wait for His answer. We should start with praise and add needs and wants. And of course, that's what the disciples said. Lord, teach us to praise. Okay. And we don't have to say this prayer word for word, but He was basically showing them an order. Start with praise. Father, hallowed be Thy name. Okay, so we ought to pray. So that takes time to praise Him for who He is. Then Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. So in other words, we're talking to Him about His wants and His desires and His needs. That takes time. And then maybe we throw in there, this is, you know, I did all that and I mean all that and that took a little bit of time. But now I'm talking to you about my desires. Give us this day our daily bread. And allow this to happen, allow that to happen. So it helps us to focus on those things. So we ask for our need, our daily bread. We ask for others. We ask for forgiveness. It takes time to do all that stuff. And so if we go and say, okay, God, I need $50 by Thursday. Okay, you know, that don't take very long. Lord, I need $50 by Thursday. Phew. But if we tell Him, hallowed be Thy name, I maybe if you want to call it butter Him up, whatever. It says to do it. That takes time. And then He says, okay, now, you know, before you get these prayers answered, you know, you aren't keeping these commandments and you know, you're not pleasing me in this area. I didn't come to talk about that. But He did. And so that takes time to get that all fixed. And so it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us some time. So as we see this, Jesus said, when His disciples asked Him, teach us to pray, all He said, it's going to cost you some time. Time is precious. Can't get it back. Time is God-given. He realized it. Time is promised of God. 40 and 10. Your promise, this amount of time. So we see here, our answered prayer will be worth our time. It'll be worth our relationship with God. It'll be worth the investment. And so, again, those that have a prayer time and those that have a prayer relationship with God, you would say 100% I agree. Worth my investment. And so a lot of times we have investments in it and there's returns on it and you're, oh man, that was worth my investment. I got, you know, 3 times what I put in. Woohoo! All right, but we've also had those things that we've invested in that was It blew up. It's a failure. I wasted that time. We could never say we've wasted time praying. It's going to cost you some time, and it'll be worth the investment. So some people, they work harder to get out of something than actually it would took them in time and effort to do the job. I've been there. All right, go clean your room, and I'll work 30 minutes on getting out of that. Can I do it next week? Can I do this, and then do that? And so I could have went and done it. And the effort that I took trying to get out of that job. So same thing here, prayer. It's going to be worth your investment. It's going to be worth your time. So pray is investing in our future wisely. It can cause us God's favor. It can cause us, we're talking about that cause and effect. We pray, it gets God's favor on us. We pray, it gets God's blessing on us. We pray, it gets that answer. So we see that it's cause and effect, and it's worth our time. Ephesians 5:6 says this, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. So that's a command. Redeem the time. In other words, take advantage of the time. Don't waste time. Don't argue. Just go pray. Redeeming time because the days are evil. Colossians 4:5 says this, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. And so what about this wisdom? The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So again, it's worth your time to say, God, I'm going to go out in the world today, and I know that I'm supposed to be an example. I know I'm supposed to be the light of the world. Help me have wisdom. And I'm not going to have to go fix stuff. So I'm redeeming the time. I acted right the first time. I responded right the first time. Why? Because I asked God. And so it took some time, but it'll be worth that investment. So prayer is the way we battle against some things. First of all, in Satan. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we can't see the devil. He's not red and horns and a pitchfork. The Bible basically describes him, he can be like an angel of light. So we can't see him. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So it's going to take some time. Again, I have been in a few fights, if you want to call that, a few scuffles, things like that. And most of them were very short. I was always told, look, if me and you got in a fight, there'd be two hits. I would hit you, you would hit the floor. All right? Ba-dum-sh. All right? And things like that and so forth. But again, we can't do that. We can't just go up and knock Satan out one time. I know there was videos going viral that people were just knocking out people with one hit. All right? Just dumb things. But we can't do that to Satan. So it's going to take time. We've got to battle Satan through our prayer. We can't beat society, but prayer can. It's going to take some time. We can't beat sin, that besetting sin, and that sin that does so easily beset us, but we can with prayer. It's going to take time. Attacks on the sanctity or the sanctuary, maybe our home, maybe our church. And that's what I'm saying. It takes time to pray for these things. So answered prayer will cost us time. Number two, I think you can understand that. It takes a little bit of time to pray. Number two is it'll take you strength and energy. Now, there's different tasks. It doesn't take much strength and energy to eat. This is my lifting weights. All right. And so forth. That doesn't take very much strength or energy. It does take some time. Doesn't take me very long. I'm a fast eater. It's just like, where did that go? It's right here. I got you. All right. So it doesn't take time, but if you're going to pray, it's going to take some strength and energy. James 5:16 says this, the effectual fervent prayer. All right. So if it's going to have cause and effect, and it's going to be fervent. It's going to get things done. It's going to cost us some strength and energy. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if you just waste time, you're not going to get much accomplished. But if you put some strength and energy into it, you're going to get things accomplished. So prayer is hard work. I know, I can't think of I used to have to carry stuff that was heavy. I've carried bundles of shingles up ladders. up on the roofs before, and then you go down the road and you see these machines just going, pew, 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 throwing them up there, and you're like, where was that? When I was helping, you know, my uncle re-roof his house, you know, I was that little. Psh, psh, psh. But it takes energy, strength and energy. So same thing, prayer. Prayer will cost us some time, but it'll cost us some strength and energy. Where do we get that strength and energy from? Sleep, rest. But if you're going to have a prayer life, it's going to cost you some of that. In other words, those of you that have prayer life, you probably get up a little bit earlier on purpose. So that robs you, takes some of that strength away. Man, if I could just have 10 more minutes. But you're like, nope, prayer's worth it. And you get up a little bit. Or some of you are night owls. And you say, I'd rather stay up a little bit longer and pray than get up earlier and pray. Because when I try to get up earlier and pray, I find out that I fall right back asleep. And I wake up like this 20 minutes later, and I really didn't pray. And so it's easier for me to pray at night and so forth. But anyway, it's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you strength and energy. Prayer costs us some sleep, and that takes energy. We have to get up earlier, stay up later. Prayer is energy, it says here, is spiritual and physical. However, we can refresh our spirit, and it gives us spiritual strength. So that prayer, that's how we get strength, spiritually speaking. It's kind of like, you know, a Snickers and a Mountain Dew. You know, if you're tired and you're sleepy and you're hungry, man, a Mountain Dew and a Snickers, I mean, your eyes are going like this. You know, I'm ready. Just give me the road. I can drive forever now. It helps you. Same way with prayer in our spiritual life. If we take the time and we put the energy into it, it's going to give us that return investment. You know, I've heard preachers say like this, I spent all night praying and now, man, I feel like I could charge hell with a squirt gun. All right? You know, whoa, hey, time out. You know, back off a little bit. They got that spiritual energy. And so prayer is like, you know, I've never had a Red Bull or a Monster. You know, I'm wired enough. I don't think I need that help. But anyway, some people are like, they're bouncing off the walls because they got that energy. So prayer, we put the energy into it, but then it gives it spiritual energy back. So however it can refresh our spirits and give us that spiritual strength, we can do without sleep, not for a long time, but we can do without sleep, but we need that power in our Holy Spirit. So answered prayer will cost us time. It'll cost us strength and energy. We've got to go quickly. Next, it'll cost us persecution. Whoa, I was okay about giving up a little bit of my time. I was okay about, you know, giving a little bit of strength to it, but I'm going to get persecuted? Yeah. I'm just going to show you what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly. Okay? Living godly is having a prayer life. Living godly is being a witness. Living godly is, you know, doing what pleases God. So, yea, all they that will live godly, here it is, in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. All right, the sun rises in the east, sets in the west. You try to live godly, you're going to get persecuted. Oh, and some people, that's what they'll do. I'm giving up praying then. You know, I'll just keep that time, I'll keep that strength, and I'll just not get persecuted. Why? Because the Bible says in Romans 7:21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil presence is with me. And those of you that do have a prayer time, you know this. Like, I'm going to give some time. Okay, I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to give some energy. I'm going to give some strength here. And I mean, bad thoughts will pop in your mind. Here I am trying to pray to God and boom! That pop. Whoa! Where'd that come from? When you would do good, evil presence is with you. You try to do right, Satan's going to persecute you for it. So Satan's going to oppose our praying. The world definitely will oppose our praying. They've kicked it out of schools. They've kicked it out of the government. They've kicked it. You know, they're going to oppose. Backslidden Christians will oppose your praying. Why? Because that makes them feel guilty. So they're going to persecute you. And so again, you say, oh, man, I can give a little time. I can give a little strength. Wow, I'm going to have to face persecution? Yeah, it's going to cost you a little bit. So when we decide that we're going to pray, when you say the world, and you know, is the best time, when in the world is the best time for me to pray? He would say, you know, that Satan is going to try to keep you from praying whatever time that is. If you decide to pray in the morning, all is going to break loose in the morning. If you try to pray at night, all that's going to break loose at night. He's going to make sure. So it's going to cost us something. So it's going to cost us some time. It's going to cost us some energy and strength. But it's also going to cost us to realize that the devil is going to persecute me, but I'm still going to do it. Okay? And that's what all the people in the Bible, not all, but a lot of people in the Bible, that's what they did. They saw what God wanted them to do. They made the decision. But as for me and my house, we're going to do this. Then boom, here comes Satan. And so what they had to do, it cost them a little bit. They had to keep on doing what they said they were going to do, even though Satan was trying to deter that. So because our prayers get God involved, it's going to take us some time. It's going to take some strength and energy. It's going to take enduring that persecution. So sometimes we see here, unfortunately, circumstances take place in our lives and we wonder, what am I doing wrong? Like, this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening, and I've been reading my Bible, I've been trying to please God, I've been praying. What in the world am I doing wrong? Thing is, it might be this. What in the world are you doing right? Satan wasn't messing with you when you weren't giving a little bit of time and giving a little bit of strength and a little energy and trying to please God. Satan wasn't bothering you. So a lot of times when we're facing that persecution or that opposition, it's because of what we're doing right. Not because of what we're doing wrong. Now, if you are doing something wrong, Lord, what am I doing wrong? It'll be the first thing that comes to your mind. He will let you know. But if you're like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but this persecution and this situation and all these opposition, it's because you're trying to do right. And the devil's mad. So sometimes we have to endure that hardness as a good soldier. So many times, it is not what we're doing wrong, but it's what we're doing right that's going to cause that persecution. So answered prayer will cost us time and strength and energy. It will cost us some persecution. Here's another one real quickly. It'll cost us humility. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He may exalt you in due time. It's going to cost you that time. So God will not hear a person with pride. It says here, He resists the proud, James 4:6. Proverbs 28:9 says here, He turneth away His ear from hearing the law, even the prayers shall be an abomination. So that person that says, I'm not doing what the Bible says, I'm going to do what I say. That person's prayer is an abomination. So we have to humble ourselves. So God lifts us up when we humble ourselves. He pushes us down when we try to exalt ourselves. So humility is a way to get that exaltation and promotion from God. And I'll just mention these last ones real quickly. The next one was, it's going to cost our soul some agony. Soul and agony. And this is Romans 8:26, and we know what Romans 8:28 means. And all things work together for good. All right. So when you have situations, it causes us agony. Verse 26 says this, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so that soul, when we wrap three verses before, we realize that all things work together for good. We're like, I don't even know what to pray. It's going to cost us some soul agony, but the Holy Spirit will interpret that unto the Lord. So if our prayers are going to get answered, we're going to have the Holy Spirit's help. Says here, they show us how weak we are in certain areas. The Holy Spirit sows that, but He also can force us to run to God when we have these situations. Therefore, it works together for good. So God is moved. When God is moved, conditions change. When God is moved, circumstances change. When God is moved, people will change. And of course, we have many, I guess, Baptist forefathers, if you want to call them that. George Whitfield, obviously, he was a man of prayer. And it says in his autobiography that he liked to pray in the woods. And he would go and pray in the woods. And it wasn't that they would hear him in the woods, but they could just feel the presence in the woods. And it says hunters would not even go into the woods when they knew George Whitefield was praying. Charles Finney, he had that soul agony. And people would run out of bars, his autobiography said, and fall at his feet and beg for God's mercy. David Brainerd, obviously, he prayed and basically gave himself for all the American Indians. William Carey, John Knox, George Mueller, all these people, they had that, what they called that soul agony. God, I have to have this. I really, really need this. And so it moved the heart of God, and He blessed their ministries unspeakably. So answer prayer will cost us something. Time, strength, persecution, humility, soul agony, loneliness. Of course, Jacob prayed all night long by himself and walked with a limp the rest of his life. Elijah prayed all night long. David prayed in caves until God helped him get back to the man after God's own heart. John the Baptist prayed lonely. Elijah prayed lonely. So answer prayer sometimes costs us something. And lastly, it'll cost us ourselves. That's why the Bible says, find yourself, you're going to lose it. If you lose your life for His sake, you'll find it. So pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He shall send forth laborers. And then the rest of the Isaiah said that, but then he also said, hey, here am I, send me. All right, so prayer, answered prayer, will cost us something. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll go make some bags. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. Lord, I just ask You to give us Your speed. Lord, help us have a good time of fellowship as we're putting these bags together. Lord, we do ask You to take them and bless them. And Lord, help us to see souls for our labor. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. And Brother Derek will give you instructions back there.